Now you sound really far away.
Okay.
Now you're in the front.
Am I okay now?
Yes, good. There's still a bit of feedback of an echo in there, but I don't know if it's really
I think maybe
your microphone.
The Stargaze account that's hosting, I think, can mute.
Okay.
And then I think the echo is fixed.
Yes, perfect. Almost perfect, but good enough. Definitely good enough.
Okay. We'll just wait a few minutes until some more people join. Once we have enough in here in a couple minutes, we'll start up. So just relax for a minute or two.
Okay.
Okay. We've got on-chain lore up as well. So today for the space, we're going to start with just a few updates about Stargaze, and then we're going to get into our kind of interview meet and greet with the featured creators for this week. And then after that, we'll open up to, just more general discussion. So I see, Breads, you wanted to speak. If you don't mind just holding on until a little bit later, that'd be sweet. Because we do this space just kind of like to do a little focus on the creators for the week. Just to start, I'll give a few updates. Sounds like the echo is fixed, which is good. For Stargaze, it's been a pretty fun week. Interchain transfers for mad scientists were set up. So there's a bunch of the mad scientists transferred over to Stargaze, over 1,600 of them, and over 8 million stars in volume for their trading, which is pretty cool. So for that, like, deposit and withdrawal are available. So if you've moved a mad scientist onto Stargaze, you can, of course, move it off. Or if you've picked up one on Stargaze, you're able to move it off as well. And you can do that. There's a banner at the top of the site. We've got a little contest going on right now, which is to guess the new user count by end of the month. So right now, for active users on Stargaze, we're over 23,000. It's been growing like crazy. So on the Twitter account, there's just a little game we're playing. I guess you can just respond with your guess, and we have a little prize for whoever guesses what the active users will be. For governance, there's a discussion on Commonwealth for a protocol-owned liquidity deal with Shade. There aren't many comments on it yet, but I encourage people to go over and check out Commonwealth to take a look at that and join in the discussion. I'm not sure when that proposal is going to go on chain, but it's just currently in that draft phase. Other than that, we put up a new text warning on collections that don't have socials attached. There's been, as the site gets more popular, there's of course more like as an open marketplace, there's a lot of collections that may be launched and there's risk involved for users. So we're trying to improve that a little bit. So, there will be a text warning on collections that, there's no socials attached to this. We're not sure where it comes from. So mint at your own risk. And for Stargaze, like, if there's reports about something like stolen art, then a collection will be blocked on the website front end. Those collections still exist on chain. They could be traded on other marketplaces and things, but for Stargaze, we don't support like stolen art being released on the platform and so on. So for those ones, mint at your own risk, please do your own research and ask other community members whatever you can do before you mint a collection. One more thing is that the whitelist for open editions is on testnet right now. So hopefully it will be on mainnet pretty soon, hopefully in a couple weeks or something like that. So that'll allow people to set up a whitelist for open edition mints. For today, we've got our featured creators for the week. We have Lovecraft, we've got CXT Art, and On-Chain Lore. So I'm just going to throw to you guys just to introduce yourselves. Maybe tell me a little bit about what your collection is, what you're releasing on Stargaze, and maybe a little bit about yourself as well. We'll go with Lovecraft first, then CXT, then On-Chain Lore. So Lovecraft, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Brady. Okay, a bit about myself. I am a multidiscipline artist. I do music, which is like the biggest stuff I do. Also video and a lot of visual arts. My background is that I'm doing graphics design as a job for the past 25 or almost 30 years now. And I got involved in the entire NFT thing about 3 years ago and did already publish quite a few collections on different chains and different marketplaces. And what I'm bringing now to Stargaze is actually something new. It's kind of an ongoing experiment where I took a lot of my own oil and acrylic paintings and took parts of it, photographed them or scanned them, added some scribbles that I do on paper or in Procreate. And so I got a whole library of elements from my own art and fed them back into AI. And had AI recombine the entire thing, and then took the results out of it, got back into Photoshop, improved the stuff, worked a bit on it, sometimes even got back to Procreate to scribble a bit more on it, and then got a completely new result in the end. And the goal, as I always do with digital stuff, is that it's meant to be printed. So all the pieces that are in the collection are possible to print up to a meter tall without any loss of quality. So they're actually colorful pieces that are meant to put on the wall. And the collection is 10 pieces. And as I already said, it's an ongoing experiment because over the year, I will also go ahead and print some stuff out of this collection as well and then paint it over again. So I'm doing kind of like what the AI did to my art to what the AI made out of my art. And so we will see waves and waves coming up of that. And I guess it's going to be quite interesting.
Yeah, that's really cool. And do you, it's cool to see someone that like building training AI off your own original physical art that you've produced. Have you done it much before? Is this kind of first attempt for you?
I've dabbled with that for a few attempts, but so far the models were not far advanced enough. So this is something that I've been working on for half a year now, this specific collection, and I never did it in this grade, but I also did one collection before it that was also involving taking AI and then go in there and overpainting it. So I already have some mixed pieces, some mixed physical pieces where I have a high quality print of an AI piece that I partially overpainted. So I'm trying to get involved in AI a lot because I really think that AI is something that is here to stay. It won't just go away. So as an artist, I think it's wise to, not see it as the enemy, but rather see it as a good tool and learn to work with it and to really include it into your creative process while still working on your own style.
Yeah, that's neat. And and you can see that I've posted one of your tweets in the Nest. So if people want to take a look at, some of your pieces, I think you have some of your physical stuff there. If people want to get familiar with your style, they can take a look at that. Just going to go around here just for introductions, and then maybe I'll ask specific questions of you. CXT, how are you doing?
Hi, thanks for inviting me. Hello, everyone. I'm Claudia. I wish I could come up with a very fancy name like Lovecraft, but I haven't yet. So I'm just using my initials as my Twitter name, which sounds boring. So in art, on the paper or canvas, I usually do paintings, illustrations, and sometimes mixed media. And on the screen or on a computer, I do visual computing, and I sometimes write music. And also in contrast to Lovecraft, music is the smallest thing I've ever been doing. I wish I could have more time to practice and write more. And It's pretty funny that I come from a computer science background and I work in quantitative finance, like from Monday to Friday. So over the weekend when I do art, I love to do something that's completely different. So I started with traditional art, like illustration, watercolor on paper. And sometimes I use marker and other tools as well. So it sounds like a good complement to my work life, which is always on the screen and a lot of math and coding. But recently, I started experimenting with like visual computing and some digital tools. And right now, I kind of realize that it's a tool just like pen, watercolor, or acrylic. It just adds new dimension to my art. And it's actually completely different to work, in which, like in quantitative finance, you try to find a strategy or trying to solve a very precise problem. While in art, it's more expensive that you're trying to create something new in that free realm. And in terms of my collection, it's actually part of a series in which I celebrate the Year of the Dragon, which is this year in Chinese zodiac. It's the dragon with a fusion of the reality and imagination. Probably from the picture, you notice that it's, since it's called the Night of the Museum, in the background, there is the central column of the British Museum. I work and live nearby, so it's a museum that I often been to and I drew inspiration from. And in this piece, I experimented with combining digital and traditional techniques. So I firstly drew the draft with pen on paper, and then I transported to digital to like do the coloring and also inverted the color finally to create the scene at night. So at first I showed this series along with other like 8 pieces in my company and all my colleagues love it. And later on I showed at Goldsmiths University of London. And right now, I'm super excited to bring it to the digital and NFT space here on Stargaze.
That's awesome. And I have to ask, with your 2 skill sets in art and in computer science, does that give you any specific interest like in NFTs? Do you have some tech interest when it comes to them? Or is it more so just like a visual medium for you?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question that people often ask me. So previously, like these are 2 very different things I just do in parallel, and I never thought they would intersect. And actually, I've been to a few NFT hackathons and also won a few. I thought I kind of know a bit about NFT, but never thought I could combine that with like traditional art. But only recently, I thought I could experiment with digital tools and also write code to do some art. For example, here is a JavaScript-based language called p5.js, where you can draw graphics with code. So this kind of discovery really opened up a whole new world for me. I feel I could finally combine my like professional skill set with like computer science and math with an artistic expression. So I'm still on the road and pretty much at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really cool. And just for a little bit of context for CXT and for Lovecraft, we hosted an open call on The Hug, which is a website for the hosts for like live exhibits, all kinds of things. So we did one for Stargaze. And these guys are 2 of the people that we selected among 100-something submissions. So new artists on the platform, and they're part of this little event we're kind of doing, hosting a few different Hug artists. We got these 2 this week and 2 more people this week. So I want to give you guys like a welcome to Stargaze. It's a good community, really, really supportive people, a lot of interesting creators here as well as individuals. So I hope you guys have a good time, and I hope everybody gives them a warm welcome while they're here. On-chain lore, how are you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm doing great, thank you. I was running around before putting all my... I've got a cat that is like incredibly loud, so I always have to last minute run and put him in a different room. Otherwise, he'll just sit there meowing the whole time I'm on his base. What are you up to today?
I'm good. I came here to talk about the Bad Dogs, the Bad Dog NFT collection. As being the artist, Chihuahua with Hat is the lead of the project and on the, of the meme token itself. And yeah, before I dive into that, just as a brief introduction, just to talk about my background. I come from the world of advertising, graphic design and animation, with experience in ad agencies and design studios. And recently I moved more into the motion graphic side. So that's mostly what I do right now. I do animations, for, you know, all sorts like commercials, explainer videos. And yeah, what I enjoy the most is, you know, telling stories through visuals, either design or art itself. And that's one of the things that, you know, push me to try new stuff, push me to, you know, create my own art. I've always been like kind of, I don't know, like I wasn't too motivated to do, you know, artistic stuff just because, I never knew how to properly like draw or have like, you know, what one, like the skills you may see on the Lovecraft or CXD art. And I was always like, you know, shy about, you know, doing stuff. But it was until I found, you know, graphic design and the different tools that are out there to basically get your idea out there that I really fell in love with creating cool stuff, stuff that could resonate with people and stuff that can be shared and yeah, appreciate it. So yeah, when I heard about the NFT coin, I mean the meme coin, meme token, Bad Dogs, as soon as I saw the picture, I was like, oh man, that's cool. That's kind of different from like, you know, any every other meme token. You know, these guys, I instantly like started like brainstorming ideas of how they would be, how they would be different from everything else. And it was a crazy way to get in touch with the team. But yeah, it was like, dude, that's like, I see the potential of doing like a different meme token, like enough of that, those fluffy memes and, you know, it's too much color. Like the project lends itself to do something cool with these characters. So would you like to like collab and stuff? And that's how like the whole idea of the NFT came about. And I started like bouncing off ideas with the team, and they were like, yeah, let's do it. Let's create something cool. And yeah, as you saw in the video that we launched as an announcement, that's the sort of stuff that I would really enjoy to do, to create, you know, those, to create vibes, to create, you know, things that can transmit emotions through visuals, music, and motion. So yeah, I've launched previous collections, and this one was a cool experience just because I had to collaborate with another team, and it was the first time that I did something like this. But it's been a cool experience, and it's already on pre-sale, and people seem to enjoy it.
That's awesome. And so like, yeah, I know you've released things on Stargaze before. You had that collaboration you did with Cosmograph a while ago. I pinned that, the video that was really cool. So can you tell me a little bit about your process with this collection, and like how are these created? Any inputs you had, things like that?
Yeah, it was a really cool experience to explore, because this was the first time me attempting to do this type of character work. I'm not, as I said, I'm not too keen into drawing or doing stuff like that. So I had a chance to explore with different AI, and something that resonated with what Lovecraft was saying is that you know, some people might underestimate or diminish like the AI art coming about, but I'm always of the belief that if you can use that tool to make something that's on your head, like whatever means you have to do that, go ahead. What I'm not very, you know, too convinced is just like letting AI be the art, because you need to show part of you out there, you know, through the tool. So I always tend to go a little further and, you know, try to explore new techniques and mix and match stuff. For this particular collection, I knew I wanted to do a pixel arts style. I've never done that. And I started exploring different AI tools to see which one could deliver, you know, kind of the quality that I was looking for. And I started like feeding in references and fixing them in Photoshop, and then like resending them back to the AI and figuring out like a style. The most difficult stuff was to get like the format of the characters just the way that I wanted, and to then figure out how to do the variations of colors and then all the different traits. But yeah, it was a cool experience. Also for the video, it's similar to this. I always like tried to do like the story in my head and started like prompting the AI and trying to mix different styles of pixel art just to get the scenes, and then send it through animation and video and I mean like sound effects and all that. But yeah, what I really enjoy to do is just to find new ways to tell stories and mix them with the tools that I already have, you know, try to elevate a little bit and do something, you know, more that belongs to the artist.
Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah, I like that kind of, you know, something that belongs to the artist. And I think that's something that you run into with AI is the feeling that it's the loss of control. When you have a toolkit at your disposal with your skills in graphic design and so on, you get to maintain control of that direction and, you know, not just kind of following what the AI spits out and so on. I wanted to ask, first off, I want to say if anyone has any questions for creators or anything, feel free to just post in a reply and I'll check and ask. Otherwise, you're welcome to hop up if you want to ask a question directly. But my next one for you on-chain lore would be, what are your plans for this collection? It's connected to the Bad Dog meme token, so I'm sure you guys have something planned. I was curious if you could tell us a bit about that.
First off, the first thing we did was to whitelist like the holders of the Bad Dog token. The holders that got a little bit over 3.5 million Bad Dogs in their wallets. So we figured out a way, you know, to whitelist them. But there's a lot on the table from the team perspective. I've always seen the potential of NFTs not only as an art form and something to collect, share, and you know, show off. We're barely like scratching the surface in regards to NFTfi. You know, since what we've been seeing the last couple of days with Mad Scientist and the IBC NFT protocols getting better and better. I believe that this is only good for us creators because it's going to bring like a lot of toolings that we really want to explore and see, you know, the limits of it. So I really dig that we're getting into that area of, you know, merging art and finance in our home, the Cosmos ecosystem. And it's going to be, you know, cool from here to see what we can come up with. There's a lot on the table still. The team, they have the direction of how they want to go about it. But what I know and what I can tease is that holders since we're talking about a meme token, holders of the NFT for sure are gonna, you know, be the first ones to participate in the initiatives that the token has, either as airdrops, either like collaborations, and part of holding the Bad Dog NFT is, and the value of it is that you're not only being part of the of this bigger thing, but you're also going to be part of the process of building this future that we still can't see, which is like this world where we're going to be able to mix finance with art, when we're going to be able to stake, to lend, to, you know, NFTs are going to have an extra dimension that, that we still haven't, you know, we have no idea of what's going to happen and how it's going to, you know, be perceived. But I only think that it's as if you're bringing more tools to the creators, it's only going up from here. So I'm really excited about what's going to happen and excited of what we can build with this.
Awesome, thanks. So I got the same question for Lovecraft and CXT. So Lovecraft, I know you you said that this is kind of not a work in progress, but you have future plans for these pieces. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about that.
Yes, of course I can. As I already told you in our talk, basically this is just an intermediate step. So right now we see a purely digital result that of course can be printed, but for me, the painting season starts. My workshop is outside and it's not heated, so I have to wait until the weather is okay to paint. So I can pretty much only paint between May to September. And so I'm really excited to go forward with it. And in this case, I will use different materials for the prints and different grades of overpainting. So I want to overpaint some stuff 100% and then again scan it, bring it back to the digital realm and work on it again. But also there's stuff that's again going to be partially overpainted. So the goal is for this year to basically get some of the pictures from this series together to have a solo exhibition, because I like to go out and put stuff on walls, because I think still art likes to be on walls and people like to have art on walls. And I don't mind having art on displays on walls, but also it's the beauty of just having something colorful in your surrounding. I think this is something that pretty much works for everybody. Even people that are not too keen of art put some sort of art on their walls. It's just something that we like to see. And I really like to work with color. And I think this is one of the big advantages of the digital realm, to get in there and to pop colors after you actually painted it, for example, because this is something I often experience, especially with acrylics. Even though when you use rather expensive acrylics, they tend to fade and they tend to never be as poppy as I want them. And in the past, I tried things like working with spray paint, for example, to get the more extreme colors in there, but you end up with a color mix, you end up with a big old mess. So I really like the idea of going back and redoing stuff in digital and then again print it. And I see it also at exhibitions when I talk with people, that they often prefer the shiny worked over print that I have on the wall than the original that is in oil or in acrylics, because they like the poppy colors, but they also like the fact that it's so easy to keep. You can just pretty much dust it off. If you have an oil painting or if you have acrylics, you really have to think about the fact that your art fades, that your art is susceptible to UV, for example. And so I like the fact that you can reproduce stuff. And when I think about what the NFT realm again brings to the artist, is a whole new way, because you can reach people that never had the money to buy an original from an artist. And this is something that I really like. For example, when I look at the 10 pieces that I now put into this collection, it's something that is affordable to everyone. If you really want one of these, I know that you can come up with the money to get it. And when you're thinking about real originals, they have to be at a much higher price, because pretty much what you pay now for these digital originals is pretty much less than the material costs for a large picture to paint. And so I think it's a kind of a liberation of the art market. And I also talked to a lot of people who had the opposite thing of my thoughts, which were they're saying, I don't want a physical piece because I would like to have my life sized down. I would not like to own so much people. It's about this philosophy of things owning you if you own them. And so they rather say, it's okay for me to own digital art because I can put it just as the background picture on my laptop, for example, or I do have a digital picture frame and I put the stuff in there that I like, and I can also relate to that. We are in an intermediary phase, I say. We're seeing a new way of artistic expression growing, and I like that. NFTs are the first time where digital art can be stamped as an original and can still also have value. And this is something that I really hated in the past 25 years, that when you did digital art, everybody thought, well, I just copy it. It doesn't matter. It's just this right click save attitude, and NFTs make it a fairer deal.
Yeah, that's really cool. And so with your plans for it and stuff, for people who mint your collection, is there like an option to buy a print from you or something like that? Because I know these are really big, for example, like when you open them up, they're huge pieces that could be printed. So
I purposefully made them this big. They're all ready to print. So you can go in your own country, find the printing service and have them printed. And then it's also still in your hands. You can have it printed on canvas for really cheap, or you can go ahead and say, hey, this is a nice piece. I love it. I would like to have it printed on glass. This is where what I usually do. I have them back printed on glass and then mounted on aluminum. So it's really like high class, but you don't have to do it. You can do it. And I also don't mind if you have multiple copies of it. It's for you to take, and it's for you to print it and whatever phase of life you are. This might be something that you put into a cheap print now, and later you decide, hey, I'm going to make a big one now. And so I just want to leave it up to the person. I like the idea of having my art in a physical form on a wall, but it's so much hassle for me to print them over here in Germany and then pack them up and, for example, send them over to Canada. Pretty much everybody in between earns more money on it than I do. And so I'd rather see it printed by somebody and see a picture which I'm getting from collectors that have them on the wall. That's way cooler for me than to just pay everything to the postal service.
Yeah, shipping anything in and out of Canada is brutal. So I really appreciate your perspective on that. That's awesome. So maybe if I get one, I might message you for some advice on where to print it and so on. But thank you for that. I wanted to ask CXT the same question. Do you have any plans for this collection or like follow-up pieces? I know that it's part of a series, so I wondered if you could speak a little bit more about that.
Yeah, definitely. So in terms of the series itself, it's all surrounding this theme of a dragon. And it all comes from my imagination. So the dragon could be like on an Asian Chinese pagoda, like in the British Museum, or somewhere on the street. So there are 9 of them already. And in terms of expansion, I think since the Chinese zodiac goes on year after year, and there are 12 of them in total, I could do maybe 9 of them every year. So I would have a collection within a collection and grows even bigger. And I think it's a good exercise for imagination as well, because I feel as we grow older, we become more and more realistic, and it's hard to find an opportunity to just let our imagination run wild and put it on a piece of paper. And speaking of that, I'm also thinking about the content. I can also go to another direction, that is making it like animated graphics alongside my like original music. That might take a lot more work, that I need to be more proficient in visual computing and animation in order to do that. But that's definitely somewhere I want to like improve and finally be proficient at. And finally, in terms of the medium, right now, like digital tools and AI are more like a helper on the side. For instance, when I try to compose the painting, like at the beginning stage, or when I try to bring up some ideas about what I could paint, I would use like picture generation tools to give me some compositional ideas very quickly so I could iterate on these ideas and finally arrive at my final piece. But since I'm getting like more and more proficient in these tools, they could probably take a more central stage. And that also comes to what I talked about earlier. So no matter if it's traditional or digital, these are just tools and they should serve the purpose of your concept. If I find the digital tools to be like to work better than the traditional ones one day when I'm developing the series, then I would go for that. But if I'm feeling like really, I'd say, comfortable with going down the traditional route, I could still paint traditionally and mint as NFTs and share with the wider, I'd say, crypto world, plus the physical world. So there are many ways to go, and I'm open to anyone.
Yeah, right on. That's cool that you're thinking about more mixed media as well. I think all the creators here have quite a bit of experience with that. Also, I want to say, if you guys have any questions for each other, you know, feel free to open the mic and ask. You don't need to throw your hand up or anything. What I was teasing at CXT is, do you have any plans for like future releases on Stargaze? Are you thinking about that at this point, or are you just ready for the first release and focused on that?
Yeah, I'll start with the first one, which is tomorrow. And if that goes well, I could probably release others within the series and see how people think of them and go from there.
Yeah, right on. I saw you you posted something with the Peps Vibe, their art competition. So that's cool. I see that.
Yeah, I think I saw them on your Stargaze Zone. And then it's actually also a combination of physical and digital painting. So the background comes from a physical piece that I did, and then I inverted the colors and then added some digitally painted Stargaze symbol and the Peps heads. It was pretty fun and didn't take a long time to paint.
That's cool. Yeah, there's a lot of creators on Stargaze, and it's like a super collaborative environment. So I hope you guys get the chance to chat with some of the other people that are releasing stuff on the platform. There's a lot of opportunities for like collaboration, or, you know, just sharing ideas and so on as well. I wanted to ask, do any of you guys have any questions for one another?
I don't really have a question at this point. I just wanted to say in general that I'm always looking forward for collaboration, because this is the one thing that I really learned to love in the last 3 years being in the NFT space, that I met a lot of artists that I would have otherwise never met, and that I did a lot of collaborative stuff, which just gave me so much new perspective into other people's artistic thinking. And for example, what I really like to do is when people do animation, I love to do music with them, or even when they just create flat pieces that we go at it together to put some sort of motion into it, and then again put music over it. There's so much ways to do stuff, and I'm always open to that.
Yeah, I really agree. Like, even among the three of them, we come from very different backgrounds, and like from music, graphic design, marketing, and although I do traditional painting, I have a computer science background. So I think there's already an infinite possibility for collaboration or doing something together.
For sure. One of the things that I've seen in this space is, just as Signal was saying, there's always somebody that wants to you know, welcome the new artists coming in and see the ways that we can build even more unique stuff. I had a chance to collaborate with a friend of mine, and called Cosmograph on this project called Cadencia. And we had a chance, he's a musician, also a great graphics artist, and just to tell you a little bit about that experience. He's a musician, and during the pandemic, he started like composing music on his own. And he was like, I'm just going to post this to the ether and, you know, just forget about it. And when we started both trying to explore new mediums to create art and discovering Stargaze as a way to showcase your artwork to a lot of people, he was like, dude, we should definitely do something with your skills in animation. I have like these aesthetics in my head, and I also have this music that could go with it. Let's try to come up with something. It was a very, you know, organic process, just started to figure out the mood of what we wanted to do, and started like bouncing off ideas to what it ended up being, which was like really, you know, serene, you know, unique pieces that tell the story of the cosmos. It's something that we're still doing. We're constantly like talking about it and continuing it. And it's something that we're really looking forward in this time. But it's just, you know, like some like a testament of you know, when you want to create and you find somebody that vibrates with that same you know, frequency, cool stuff come out, you know. And this is what I really enjoy about this space, is that I've made a good friends here, and also like there's always, you know, the will of, you know, just talking and seeing what people are about and see what people, why people create. And there's a lot of conversations that artists can have. And I think there's definitely like a lot of opportunities to collab with people that don't even match your style, don't even, you know, come from the same background. That's where unique stuff come out.
Yeah, that series that you and Cosmograph have is pretty awesome. Cadencia, I think the first one, Sputnik, that's like one of my favorite pieces. Yeah. On generally, it's really cool. I had a question for you about, like, you come from a branding and graphic design. Oh, and now maybe nobody can join. I don't see anybody joining.
Oh no, what do we do?
I mean, if it's toast, it's toast. Okay, we got people joining again. Maybe we're okay.
Okay, great.
Do you mind making me co-host if you can?
Yeah, I try to. Let me try again.
It's like, of course, today there's problems, right?
Yeah.
That ruins good luck.
Did you get the invite? Okay, I see you.
I'm good, yeah. Okay, here we go. I'll invite CXT back up. I'll invite on-chain lore back up. You know, these are recorded, so even if they're broken up, people can listen in later on. So sorry about the interruption. Very typical Twitter experience these days on Spaces, as everybody knows. Let's see. If you guys are able to get up and speak, just say hello. We might have a delay in the UI, so I might not see you're a speaker yet. So just say hi if you hop up.
Hi, check.
Okay, good. We got Lovecraft up on chain lore. And I'm inviting CXT. When you can, please join again. So I was asking a question to you, on chain lore, about like with your background and experience in branding and graphic design and things. Oh, there's my cat. I was wondering what it's like to approach something like an existing project, like Bad Dog. It's like this meme coin that you're making a collection for. What are some of the things that you think about, or you were thinking about or focusing on for it? You know, because like an NFT collection accompanying something like that can mean a whole lot of things. So I was wondering what you were thinking about when you were creating it. Can anyone hear him? I can't hear on chain lore.
Nope, me neither.
If you guys can hear him in the audience, if the listeners can hear on-chain lore, please give a thumbs up. If you cannot hear him, please give a thumbs down. Okay, thumbs down. Hey, do you want to rejoin? We'll get you back up here. You can leave and come back, and we'll try to get you back up on-chain lore. Maybe he can't hear me. Who knows? there we go. In the meantime, I wanted to ask about your experience on other platforms. Lovecraft, first. Have you released NFTs much on other platforms?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I have collections on somewhere around 10 different platforms over the time, on 6 or 7 different blockchains. So I tried a lot of things. Everything from marketplaces where you can mint individual pieces all the way to creating my own contracts with Third Web. So yes, I do have a lot of experience with that.
Yeah, right on. And I got to ask, how did you find Stargaze compared to others for launching? You don't have to be like totally complimentary, but I was just curious, how was the experience?
Actually, it was pretty much the most complicated thing I ever did. And the reason for it was not the actual minting, but it was the idea of getting your own space for your NFTs. Yeah, that was the thing which I never had to do before. In any case, it was always usually the standard IFTS, and so this was the one thing I first had to wrap my head around. Other than that, it was all fine. But still, I must say it's one of the most complicated processes I've ever seen in the NFT space.
Which part was that? What do you mean by getting your own space?
The part about getting your own space for the pictures, for the actual files.
I see. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yours were very large, right? So you probably had to upload them, put them on IPFS first, and then link to it.
I used the Pinata way. So I first had to get a. I used both different ways that you provided in the manual. And I ended up using Pinata because the other one simply didn't upload.
Yeah, Pinata, I have to say, is probably of the methods on Stargaze the most complicated. Yep, but we're on now, so we're good.
It's all okay. After you've done it once, it's all okay. But it was really, at the moment, a thing of like, man, am I really stupid? And then I realized, no, it is a few steps that you have to go through.
Yeah, it's always funny. I mean, it's commonplace, I think, across Web3. It's like the first time you interact with anything, it's just like a different language. And then once you get used to the different steps, yeah. So okay, this is clear. CXD, how about you? Have you released much? Have you released on like OpenSea or other platforms before, or is this more new in terms of your releases doing NFTs?
Yeah, I'm pretty new to it, and the only other place I've ever had was on object.com. I was part of an exhibition, and the curator just minted everything on my behalf, and whenever it sold, they transferred all the proceeds to me, so I didn't really get to interact with the platform by myself.
Oh, so this was your first time.
Like, yeah, like a practical experience in like releasing something. Yeah. And thanks to you and Sarti that you've been super patient, and I feel I'm in safe hands all the time. And also I want to agree that Web3 is like a totally different language, even for a technical person, like from a computer science background, like I am. I still find a lot of jargon to be a bit intimidating. I have to search up to really understand what it means. Probably everyone who gets started on Web3 have the same experience.
Hey, actually, do you find that some things in Web3 are like more frustrating because of your experience in computer science otherwise? Because I have some friends that are programmers that just aren't into Web3. And they're always like, I don't like the way that that's done. If that makes sense, I was curious.
I think it's just a very different world. Maybe going on a bit of a tangent, like at work, I get to interview candidates from time to time. And one time there was a guy who came from the Web3 space and who like writes in Rust from Web3. I find his coding style kind of very different to what I'm used to. So I guess it's just different. It's nothing like wrong with either world. But I still wonder like why and what really caused the difference, because we're all humans and these are all technical concepts. They shouldn't be so different.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because there's things that at least I've found that talking with friends that have a very strong technical background, you know, there's like particular points that you're like, why is it done that way? It's not the way what I'm used to.
I had a really funny explanation about that once, and there was somebody who said that you first have to imagine like really deep coding nerds that are really able to speak in a language that nobody else understands, and when you mix these with hippie ideas, that's when you get Web3. Yeah. And I think that describes it pretty much, because in the end you have a really unique mindset that is at the base of Web3, and still it's really high-tech coding behind it at most parts. So it's a really unique mix.
Yeah, it's sort of attached to a particular ethos, and that's what things pivot on. It can be totally different how you do it. On-chain Lork, are you up? Can you speak now?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Oh, awesome. Yeah. I got to go back to you with this question just because I asked a couple times. You didn't get the chance to answer. But with your branding background, when you're working on this, doing an NFT collection for, you know, like a meme chain, or not chain, but a meme project like Bad Dog, like what are some of the things you think about, you know, like what do these NFTs mean for that community? Mm-hmm. What were some things going through your head?
First off is always like a challenge, but a fun challenge, because at the end of the day, us designers, creatives, what we're doing is almost every day problem solving. So we're trying to connect A to B, find a solution for an issue. And as long as you identify that need and what it's required, you know, through experience you find how the ways to, you know, solve that problem. For this particular project, it was really fun because it's a fun you know, thing to explore. It was like, you know, I had free range to do whatever I wanted with it, and it's cool just to, you know, create you know, based on something, just because it's cool where you can get, you know, for this. Yeah. Those were like the questions that popped into my mind. Like, what should an NFT mean to a community that's already invested, and what kind of NFT would represent, would you want to represent that group that need, you know, group that you're building? So yeah, since the beginning, I remember the guys calling the group, like, you know, like a cult, we're a club, we're a private, you know, something different. And it was cool to, you know, find ways in which we could tell stories that of, you know, different, like these dogs, and how to differentiate from the other meme tokens, the other dog coins. So first out of the bat, you know, out of the first thing that I saw was the logo, and I saw this chihuahua looking to the left instead of the right. So that was something that early on like caught my attention. I was like, yeah, of course, like bad dogs shouldn't follow rules. So why would they look the same way other NFTs are always looking? So first out of the bat, like that was the first thing that I was like, okay, we're gonna make them look the other way because they're bad dogs. And cool ideas started popping up, like instead of being, you know randomly rebellious creatures, what we started thinking about was like, in a sense, we're all bad dogs just because we're the odd ones. You know, we're the ones that are exploring new ways to connect, exploring new ways to, move around finance and finding new ways to, you know, better our lives, either through crypto, through art, And yeah, that's what I started, like, merging the two worlds, you know, the make-believe cartoony and us, you know, the real us. At the end of the day, we're bad dogs because we don't conform to the rules. People say, you know, yeah, stick to the 9-to-5, doing art, you know, playing music, doing those paintings is a waste of time. But, you know, I believe firmly that liberating the soul is not a waste of time. It never is. It's only, you know, how you find yourself, and it's only a way to connect into, you know, to a deeper level with other people. So yeah, I don't know how I got here, but yeah, it was a fun experience, you know, starting from something already made.
That's awesome. And very beautifully put as well. So we got to wrap up. So I wanted to just go around one more time. If you guys wanted to give just final comments about your collection or anything else, all of these will be minting tomorrow at 7 p.m. UTC, normal freshman Friday time. We have a Stargaze art space at that same time. If any of you guys want to join at that time and chat a little bit more while it's minting, hang out, please do so. Usually it's a kind of deep conversation with existing creators on the platform and so on. But yeah, just we'll go around and final comments from everybody. Lovecraft, please go ahead first.
I'm really looking forward to getting actually really involved in the Stargaze community. So far, I haven't been, and I really want to put some time into that. And yeah, I'm looking forward to meet new people and become part of the community.
Great. CXT?
Yeah, likewise. I really enjoyed the whole onboarding process and the chat today. So I'm excited to join the community and see what comes right after.
And any final comments from on-chain lore?
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been like really cool knowing newcomers, new artists, and seeing the caliber of artists that are coming into the space is always, you know, makes you feel good to be a part of. And yeah, the project Bad Dogs with the dollar sign in front, it's on pre-sale, minting tomorrow. And I'll be minting out definitely CXT and Lovecraft if I get a chance tomorrow too.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys. You know, and for interacting with the community more, there's a lot of great people listening today. Osmo Cake, Brasco, some like really cool like collectors and creators, as well as Daniel and a bunch of other people. So, you know, be sure to follow some of the people from this space. Thank you so much, everybody. And yeah, hope you all have a good day.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds, fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked and non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege, commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality, stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Terror Spaces.